Well, I would have lobbied that we would do baptisms every week. That was great. And then to get to hear about from God's word about heaven. And now the next portion of the service is membership, and we get to welcome some new members and together present these members with the existing members to read our church covenant. When you think about what the church is, there's a number of different pictures or metaphors or analogies in Scripture for what is the church. And perhaps the most prominent illustration is that of a body, a physiological organism that's made up of different parts and hands and feet and ankles that are interconnected and interdependent. And that portrays the fact that we all are different. We don't look like each other. We don't sound like each other. We don't eat the same foods. We don't have the same education or histories or background or the same gifts. And yet we're all together in one organism called the body. And we talk about church life as body life, and they're synonymous. And so what is it like when a part of the body is injured? The whole body feels it. A thumb doesn't say, and this is what Paul is getting at, is I'm not an elbow, I'm leaving. The whole body actually suffers. So that metaphor is a picture for us of what it means to be together as a church. And so this metaphor is not that of a casual, individualistic, self-sufficient Christian who just happens to get together with others who have the same ideas about religion. No, this Bible that we cherish paints a picture of this intentional commitment between one another with believers that are connected to one another. And so let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 2 this morning, a familiar passage to us. And we know that Acts 2 marks the birth of the church and then the expansion of the church. And we'll begin reading together in verse 41. Acts 2:41, we read, "And so then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were dividing them up with all as anyone might have need, and daily devoting themselves with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved." And as we look at this passage in the membership class, we make a few observations about this passage. First, we see in verse 41 that those who were saved, those who believed the word of God, were added to the number. The number of what? The number of the church. And here we see the very individual work of God of saving an individual. Through his word, believe, and that's accompanied and followed by baptism, and then right alongside that individual miracle, that person is added to the number of the church. And then in verse 42, we immediately see that resulting in the church, which is seen gathering together, listening to the teaching of God's word, and fellowshipping and worshiping together. A second observation is that there was an actual number. In other words, the number of believers in the Jerusalem church could be counted. They were known. They could be identified. And that number was increasing. You can actually trace that growth of the church through the early chapters of Acts. By Acts 4:4, the number is around 5,000, and it continues to grow further as you read through the book of Acts. Then first in Jerusalem, then Samaria, then to the Gentile regions. Fourth observation in verses 44 and 45, We see the church meeting the needs of one another in the church. They knew each other well enough to know what each one needed. And they were committed to one another in such a way that they were willing to meet those needs at great personal expense. Who can do this? Who can take self-seeking men and women and bring them together and to love one another, serve one another in this way? Obviously, that is the work of the Lord building his church. And we see that emphasized in verse 47. We see that number being added to, and then we read, "And the Lord was adding to their number daily." It was the Lord who was sovereign about bringing and creating this body and connecting individual members. And it is him who builds his church, and we are just stewards of it, participants in it. And so what is he building? A group of believers that were counted, were known, who interacted with one another, whose needs were known by one another, who fellowshiped with one another, who gathered together under the teaching of God's word, who submitted to the leadership of the church, and even who gave of their own limited resources to one another to meet the needs of those that they cared for. Well, at Grace Bible Church, to kind of take all of those realities together, we have a membership process. Those who go through the membership process learn about what the church teaches. They know what to expect and what they'll hear taught at Grace Bible Church. And those who would intentionally join themselves to Grace Bible Church or any other church need to know what the church is all about and what that church teaches. So what we want to know, what you to know, is that those who are here have done that. They've learned what the church is about, actually most of them for decades. And now as they get to this point, they want to formally associate with this church. They've been through a class. They've learned, they know the doctrine of the church. And as Smed mentioned, this is sort of an atypical group of new membership candidates this morning. These students are all college students. And all of them are those who will actually, in the next few weeks, leave this church to go out of state to continue their studies. But as they go, they want to actually make it known to everyone that this is their church and you are their church body. They want to intentionally associate with this church, to commit themselves to the members of this body, and to submit their lives under the leadership of this church, even while they are away and attending and serving at other churches. So I'd love to encourage you, Grace Bible Church, to consider, how should we think about members of our body that are currently away from us? How do we consider Zach and Cassidy Can, our missionaries in this other side of the world, who are not presently with us, and yet they're part of our church? How do we think about those who are in our small groups, maybe who are in a season of life where they can't attend? A small group isn't just a meeting, but it's a group of people that have intended to connect to one another. How do we think about those people? How do we extend the care for one another? It takes effort. It takes planning. We just have a unique opportunity while these students are away, and as we welcome them into our membership, to not allow them to be out of sight, out of mind, but to lean into intentional care for members of our body. And that's going to take effort. It's going to take planning. It's going to take some maybe creativity, as we remember that these young people are just as much a part of our church as those that we see every Sunday during the school year. So at this point, I'm going to ask some of these candidates to come forward as I read their names. But as I do, can we just rejoice together what the Lord has done and what the Lord does in saving children who get to grow up in a church where the word is taught? We're just so grateful what the Lord has done. We're reminded that he is the one building his church. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and call the names up of these members, and they're going to come right up here and stand in front of me facing you. And then we'll have all the existing members stand and we'll read the church covenant together. So I will start. I think they'll be putting their names up there on the board for us. First, can I have Benaiah Dodd come forward? And Nathan Martin. and Emma Porter, and Abby Unruh, and Ashlyn Unruh, and Zoe Yates. So as we think about what is a church covenant that we're going to read together, the New Testament is filled with dozens of commands emphasizing and ending with the phrase one another, love one another, serve one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, and also prohibitions about one another. Don't sue one another. Don't lie to one another. So as we think about these new members and we think about our joint collective commitments and charges from the Lord to live out these one another's in the church, think about and pray for these that are standing in front of us. Think about how you might live out the one another's in their life as they are committed to doing that in your life. So we're going to put the church covenant on the screen for us. And if you are a new member or if you are an existing member, we're going to ask you to stand and we're going to read this together. And what is this covenant? These are kind of like our marriage vows. We read this and we're reminded of what the Lord has called us to do. So let's read that together and we'll put that up on the screen. Humbly trusting that God has graciously brought us to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and having been baptized upon our profession of faith in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in dependence upon God's gracious help, solemnly enter into covenant with one another. We will pray for and be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the church, being a peacemaker with all in the church. We will ask together in brotherly love, exercising an affectionate care and watchfulness over each other, faithfully encouraging, admonishing, and entreating one another as occasion may require, seeking with tenderness and sympathy to bear each other's burdens and sorrows, being slow to take offense and quick to forgive and reconcile with one another. We will strive for the advancement of this church for Christ's sake by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, by remaining faithful to God's word concerning our biblical doctrines, church discipline, the Lord's table, and believers' baptism, by exercising the spiritual gifts given to us as members of the body of Christ, by giving cheerfully and sacrificially to support the gospel ministry of the church as it extends both into this community and the nations. We will seek to live boldly as witnesses for Jesus Christ where God has placed us, living a transformed life and proclaiming the gospel, that the mission of Jesus Christ might advance in this world. We will persevere in raising our children under God's watchful care, that they might, by his grace, repent and believe in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. We will, if we move from this church, as soon as possible, unite with another local church where we can obediently live under God's word in fellowship and where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant in the body of Christ. Well, I'm going to invite the elders up here to welcome these new members into our church and shake their hand, and then we're going to sing one more song together.